Oh, how do we carry on after that? That's so funny. Oh. Isn't Carl the best actor on earth? You know, he had a contract in Hollywood, but he left it all to be here. Praise the Lord. So, oh, I can barely speak after that. I was laughing so much. So we're going to talk about a different son of Jacob, not Joseph, but Reuben. You know, Reuben's name, part of his name means to see. And we're going to talk about vision tonight. It's important vision because without vision, you don't really know where life is going. Without a clear vision, you don't really know where you're heading, do you? Maybe you don't have a clear vision for your life. Well, tonight you can have one. Would you like that? Would you like to know what God's plan for your life is? We can have that tonight if you want. You know, as you can probably tell, I was a runner, and not anymore. And last week we ran the 10K. Yay! Who ran the 10K? Anyone in here? I can't see you anyway, but I imagine that you're there. And you know, when you're running in a race, you can picture the end. And actually, quite near the beginning, I was picturing the end, thinking, when's the end going to be? As I was watching Tommy get further and further into the distance and realize I was never going to catch him, I was picturing the end. I was picturing the time where I could actually stop running and finish the race. And vision, you know, there's two meanings for vision. One is what you can see with your eyes now, and one is what you can see in the future. And I wonder what you're into right now. I wonder if you have vision for what's beyond here. You know, there's something else after this life. And I wonder if you have seen a vision of where God wants you to go. You can have that vision tonight. What's your vision for your life? You know, most people, they have a vision for the things they can see. Things they can see right here and now. Things they might see other people have. I know I do this. I, when I was younger, wanted to have a good job so I could buy a nice car, so I could have a nice house, maybe have a family one day. And you know, there's nothing wrong with those things. But the problem is, they're not going to last for very long. Those things are not bad things. But if we focus our lives on them, it's pointless really because they're going to come to an end. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. Passing away? I wonder what you're focused on tonight. Many people are focused on what they can see right now. But you can be focused on something else if you want to be. You can be focused on the kingdom of God. Jesus said this. He said, seek first the kingdom, and all of those things will be added to you as well. You know, I became a Christian 8 years ago. My wife and I became Christians together. And I tell you, we've been blessed with everything our hearts desire. Before I became a Christian, I was striving for the things I could see, striving for qualifications to get this job that I really wanted. And you know, the truth is, I was focused just on those things. Those things are heading for death, actually. But now I've become a Christian, I've got all the things that I wanted, but they're less meaningful. Isn't that weird? Those things don't mean much anymore. But what does mean something is that I know I'm heading for a place called heaven. And it's not because of anything I've done. It's just because I've said yes to Jesus. And I wonder if you're in here tonight, if you know Jesus, if you know this Jesus that wants to give you the keys to his kingdom, the keys to heaven. He wants to give you vision for heaven tonight. Because I tell you, once you know that you're heading for heaven, eternal life rather than death, oh, that changes your life. That changes what you think about. That changes the kinds of things that you do with your life. You know that all moves of God start with a vision. don't know if you know that. In the Bible, the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, is full of visions of the future. People having visions of what is to come. Many, many people talk about Jesus coming hundreds, in some cases thousands of years before he comes. And you know, when Jesus was alive walking on the earth, because Jesus is a real person, you know that, don't you? Jesus came to the earth and walked for 33 years on this earth before he was crucified. And the reason he died was so that you and I could know the vision of God for our lives, could know eternal life. Jesus fulfilled over 300 visions, 300 prophecies. He fulfilled 300 prophecies that are written in this book. Jesus fulfilled them in his life. Over 30 of those prophecies were on the day that he died, because the reason he died is for you. You know, Jesus' whole life is fulfilling a vision, God's vision. The reason he came, the reason he died, is for you, actually. All of it is for you. Jesus went through horrific torture, horrific death, the most brutal death that anyone could ever think of. A death so brutal that the Romans, the people who were the most brutal people on earth, abolished just 300 years after they crucified Jesus. He did that for you, and he did that for me. I want to offer you an opportunity tonight to have a new vision for your life. I wonder if you know Jesus. If you don't, you can get to know him tonight. I tell you, it's the best thing you can do. There's lots of talk, isn't there, in the media about religion. Religion being the cause of all these bad things that are happening. Well, actually, it's not religion. It's not Christians doing those things, is it? It's not people who are following Jesus that are doing those things. No. Not all religions are the same, you know, and not all religions head to the same place. It's only if you follow Jesus that you can gain eternal life. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. If you've ever thought about what will happen after you die. I've thought about that a lot. When I used to think about that, it used to fill me with dread. It used to fill me with absolute dread. I used to get this feeling in my stomach. One day is going to be the day I die. And the worrying thing is, I don't know when that's going to be. And I'm not in control of that. None of us are we? But God is. God is in control. And God wants you tonight to choose his vision for your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know why you've come. You've been invited by someone. You've come along. You might be here for the first time. You're very welcome. But you're here for a reason. You're here to meet with God. You know, we don't come to church just to put our hands in the air and make awesome videos like that. We come to meet with God. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you're here for salvation. Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. It means being born from above. You see, there's a physical world and a spiritual world. And the spiritual world is much more important than the physical. You can have whatever you want if you focus on what God wants. If you get your desires in line with what God wants for your life, I promise you, you can have amazing miracles. I've experienced some miracles myself. I've experienced some people who I thought would never, ever come to faith in Jesus, be saved. I wonder if you're here praying for your friends and family to be saved. I am. You know, there was a famous preacher once called D.L. Moody, and he lived quite a long life. And he preached the gospel in lots of different places. And throughout his life, he prayed for 100 people to be saved, to come to faith. And you know, by the time he died, 96 of those people had been saved. It's pretty good, isn't it? Pray for 100, 96 got saved. But you know, at his funeral, the remaining four decided to give their lives to Christ and were saved. He had vision, didn't he, D.L. Moody? It's important praying, even if it takes a lifetime. If you really want your friends and family to come to faith in Jesus and know eternal life, it's important to pray for them. You know, this used to be a bar. I don't know if you know that, but a few years ago, this was a bar. Looks a bit different now, doesn't it? Apparently the bar used to be there. And at a bar, you can go and you can order a drink. And heaven's a little bit like that, actually. What? Heaven's like a bar? How dare you? No, because once you know Jesus, you can go to the bar of heaven and ask the barman, Jesus, for anything that you like. And he won't give you something that's going to kill you and something that's detrimental to you. No, he'll give you just what you need. He'll satisfy any need that you have. Well, that bar's open to you tonight. Come to the spiritual bar of heaven and drink whatever you need. Maybe it's salvation you need. I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, you can have salvation. Why is it called salvation? Oh, because it means you're saved from heading where the most of the world are going, which is to death and hell. You're saved to go somewhere else called heaven, a place Jesus called paradise, where there'll be no tears, no pain. Sounds a bit better than hell, where the eternal fire never goes out, doesn't it? Maybe you're here because you want a clear vision for your life. Maybe you don't know where your life's heading, you don't know what you're doing. You know, when I was at university about 17 years ago, I had this TV, and I was really proud of this TV because none of my friends in my house had this TV, had a TV like it. It was 14 inches, and flat screens weren't around then, so it went back probably more than 14 inches. And it had in it, wait for this, a VCR in the TV. I couldn't believe it at the time. I couldn't believe how awesome it was. It was made by Daewoo, who I think make cars now, and it was the best ever. But there was a problem with that TV, actually. It wasn't very clear because it wasn't plugged into an aerial in my room. We had this kind of aerial that you put on top. Do you remember the aerials, some of you, that you used to put on top and used to try and angle it to try and get a good picture? Well, it never really worked for me, that aerial. The hardest I tried, I couldn't really get it clear, so we had to kind of watch a football match and try and depict which team was which. It was so unclear. But then one day, after we'd lived in the house, seriously, for about a year, I realized that there was a little socket in my room that you could plug the aerial into, because there is an aerial on the roof. So I plugged it in. It didn't blow up. It was just a different picture. It was so clear. Could see everything. Could see the green of the grass. You could see the players' faces. You could actually see clearly for the first time. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. Seeing clearly for the first time. Maybe you're here tonight because you need that. Maybe it's healing that you need. You can come to the spiritual bar and receive healing tonight. Maybe you're sitting there right now or standing right now and you're in pain. Anyone in pain tonight? Maybe you need healing tonight. I don't know if you know, but when Jesus was around, everyone he touched was healed. And you know that we as Christians, if we ask Jesus to do that, he still does it. I've been healed myself. I had a very, very painful problem to do with my bladder. For 10 long years, I was suffering with this problem. But one touch from Jesus, and it was healed. Do you have vision for healing tonight? Stacy's going to come and tell us about vision for healing. Should we welcome Stacey?
Good evening. So Tom and I have got three children, and our third child, Tabitha, when she was about 9 months old, I was feeding her myself, so I had a lot of time to sit and just look around, look at the surroundings, and our son is 2 years older than Tabitha. And I started to notice, I don't remember Georgia doing things like this. I don't remember Georgia looking at doors and lying on the floor and rolling cars across the floor and watching the wheels. And the more I started to watch him, the more I started to think, he's not the same as Georgia. He's not developing in the same way as Georgia. And I was seeing the health visitor for Tabitha. And so I'd said, I know that he has a check at 2 years. And she said, yes. And I said, well, these are my concerns. And she said, oh, that's fine. I'll come to you. I'll bring a play therapist and we'll just observe him and see what's happening. So they came and they just watched him play, really. And after that hour they were there, she said, yeah, I think you've got a right to be concerned. Yeah, we're going to refer him. And, you know, we just refer him on to some more professionals. And that turned into a year of referral toddler groups where he was observed by speech therapists. He was under a consultant at the hospital. It was constant appointments, you know, probably once a month for a year. And 1 year after that, I got this letter and I thought, oh, another appointment, okay. So I went along to this appointment. And when I got there, I was a little bit fearful because it was like an interview. There was five health professionals sat. And I walked in completely unprepared. And I was just, they started speaking, and the first words they said were, your son has autism, and it is a lifelong condition. And to be honest, the rest of the meeting was a bit of a blur. I don't remember everything that they'd told me because these words were just ringing in my ears. And I got home, and I rang Tom at work and told him what they'd said, and they'd given me this letter with all of these things on this letter, and it was a lot to take in. I mean, thinking he was just going for another appointment to go through lots of questions. And during this year, we'd been praying, and we had faith he was going to be healed, and this wasn't, you know, this wasn't what they were thinking it was going to be. And when we got this letter, it was just like, it's like a knife in my heart, you know. And and then gradually, and I can't remember when this started to happen, but people used to look at my son, and straight away I used to say, oh, he's got autism. And in this letter that they'd given me, there was lots of different things they'd written. And one of the things was lack of eye contact, non-verbal, all of these different things. And we were praying against it. But I didn't realize until I was speaking to somebody from church. And she'd never met my son. And she worked with children with autism. And I'd described my son to her and I'd said he's got autism and he's nonverbal. And then about a week after she met him, she came to me and she said, you know, it really hurts my heart because he's not nonverbal. He's not. He doesn't speak in words, but he he's at the pre-babbling stage, you know, when you're a baby and you're starting to make the sounds of words. And he does have vocal cords, you know, he is on the brink of saying, and I realized then, again, a knife in my heart, oh, I've started to speak that over my son, you know, and to believe that lie and to actually, yeah, just be in that place. And a few months after that, we went on holiday to Northumberland together. And Tom woke up one morning and said, I've had an amazing dream. And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, I dreamt that Nathaniel was speaking. And I just got goosebumps, complete goosebumps, because I'd had the same dream that he was speaking. And he said to me, I love you. Tom can't remember what he said, but I remember because I woke up and he said, I love you. And I woke up with a lump in my throat thinking, wow. And then when Tom said to me, I've had the same dream on the same night, I thought, well, that's not a coincidence, is it, Lord? Thank you. Thank you for that. And then it's like your journey being a Christian, you know, you're learning these things all the time. You're learning about faith. You're learning to trust in God. You're learning to trust in the promises that he has. You learn that he just wants the best for you. And we know that our son is going to be healed. You know, he's making different noises all of the time, starting to pronounce different letters of the alphabet. And he's just started school last week. And we just know that the school that he's going to is really just going to bring him on, and just he's going to be speaking before we know it. Yeah, thank you.
You know that faith is a choice. You can choose to believe what the doctors tell you, or you can choose to believe what God tells you. Do you believe that dream that we had was from God? I do. And since we had that dream, I tell you, our faith has gone higher and higher and higher. And the things that we know will happen, we know will happen. You know, the world just thinks that when you hope for things, us just hope they might happen one day. No, faith is different from that. Faith is vision for things that are going to happen. And I wonder if you need that for your life tonight. I wonder if you have any area in your life that you need vision from God for. I believe you're going to get it tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're living in fear. We were living in fear for our son. When I first found out the diagnosis for our son, I was so upset. I cried and cried and cried. It was the first night, actually, that we were in Estonia for the first conference we did a couple of years ago. The first day we got there, we'd just found out the day before that Nathaniel was diagnosed with autism. And I tell you, I couldn't handle it. I broke down and cried and cried and cried all night, actually. Couldn't stop crying. But since we've had that dream, it's different. God has revealed his plan for Nathaniel, which I've actually got nothing to do with because he's his son as well as mine. You know, maybe tonight you need a vision for salvation, maybe for healing, or maybe it's direction for your life. Maybe you need a vision for what God wants you to do for him. You know, when the Apostle Peter stood up at Pentecost and preached, one of the things he said was this. He quoted a prophecy from 600 years before from the prophet Joel that says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. That's you, you know, that prophecy. That's for you and for me. Do you want a dream from God tonight for your life? Do you need direction for your life? Well, it starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit. It starts with getting a vision from God. You know, a very famous preacher called Reinhard Bonnke, when he was 10 years old, got the complete answer to the rest of his life from God. Isn't that amazing? He got the ministry that God wanted him to do for the rest of his life. He was at a meeting a little bit like this one. He was a little 10-year-old boy in Germany, and he grew up a Christian. His parents were Christians. His father was a minister. And he went to this meeting, and he heard these people talking about being missionaries. And at the point where he heard that, he says, in his own words, let me read you what he said. He said, until this moment, I'd been a boy born in Germany with very little exposure to the larger world. My mental picture of the world was not very well schooled. But in my heart, it was as if Africa has suddenly been written there. You see, Reinhard Bonnke knew from that point onwards, when he heard these missionaries speak, he knew that he was going to Africa, even though he didn't know where it was. He knew that one day he would be sent to Africa. And you know, later he had dreams of Africa. He had dreams of the continent of Africa when he was older, being washed in the blood of Jesus. And he went to Africa. And you know, Reinhard Bonnke is the most successful evangelist that has ever been in history. 100 million people have been saved and come to faith in Christ through Reinhard Bonnke deciding to follow that vision for his life. That's some vision, isn't it? Maybe you're a Reinhard Bonnke. Maybe you're sitting here, young or old. There's some old people in the Bible, let me tell you, who God gives a clear vision to. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here tonight and God wants to give you a new vision for your life. You know, our vision here at this church is revival. You may have heard that once or twice if you've been here more than a week. Revival, revival, revival. Revival is a prophetic thing. You know, all revivals have started from prophecy, from people seeing dreams and visions. You know, Smith Wigglesworth is the man who gave the prophecy that we are praying for, the vision he had that we are heading for. Smith Wigglesworth said this: when the new church phase is on the wane, there will be evidence in the churches of something that has not been seen before, a coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest move of the Holy Spirit that the nations and indeed the world have ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed within these shores, talking about these shores. Even the old revivals of the past, the outpouring of God's Spirit will flow over from the UK to mainland Europe, and from there will begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. Wow. Sounds a bit far-fetched to me, but actually it isn't, because it's for you and I. You and I are living in this time. That's exciting, isn't it? Is anyone else excited to be living in a time where God is going to use you to do phenomenal things, to change the world actually, and bring people into his kingdom? You can choose, you know, to be part of that vision or not. It's totally up to you. But God wants you to be part of it. God wants you to come to faith in Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and follow that vision. Are you up for it? Is anyone up for that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Andy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all stand? Well done, Tom and Stacey. Absolutely awesome. Wow, it's dark in here. I promise we'll put some lights on in a little bit and open the tuck shop and all of that stuff. But first of all, before we do that, if you need some vision for your life, whatever it may be, maybe you lost directionally, maybe you want vision for healing for yourself or a family member, or salvation for yourself or salvation for a family member, or whatever it may be, you might just feel utterly lost directionally in your job, in your family situation, or any of these kind of things. If you want some direction, some vision for your life from heaven tonight, then I'd just like you to come to the front right now, and we're going to pray for you. We've been praying before this meeting as a team. That I know the team's got lots of prophetic words they want to share and pray for you. So just feel free to come to the front now, and we're going to pray for you, and God's going to speak to you and give you a vision from heaven through the guys who are going to pray, some direction for your life. Or maybe you've just drifted from God, or maybe you don't even know God, and you want to just be saved. Maybe you need salvation. If you've never said yes to Jesus before, then you come to the front as well and just have that vision for salvation. When Tom was speaking, you know you need to be saved. You know you need Jesus. You're just lost, completely lost, and you need Jesus to give you direction for your life. Then you come to the front as well and ask Jesus to come into your life, and he will. He'll come and meet with you and bless you and save you. And we'll put some music on. And as that's happening, the ministry team, just please come and just pray for these guys down here. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would come and meet each and every single person that wants to meet with you tonight, God. And that you would touch them, that you would speak to them in their heart, that you give them a vision from heaven, some direction for their life where they feel lost or whatever it may be. Come, Holy Spirit, right now, we pray, with your power and your strength and your love and your word, and speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.